you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe?
Okay. Welcome, boys and girls, and mom and dad, and cooker people of all kinds. Older and youngers, and biggers and badders, and smaller and whizzlers, or whatever it is.
All right. As long as you can eat.
We've got, this is Cooking Fish with Fish and Frank and Pastor Donnie, and the wonderfully talented Katrina.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyway, we're going to be talking about how to cook a fish.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get the cooking set. The simple one. even simpler than the Kenny Lau from last show, which we used no fire, no heating source. We cooked by vinegar and lime in the cooler or the refrigerator, whichever one you want to use. Mm-hmm. This time, Frank, we are going to use one of our favorites. We love to catch grouper. We go out deep. We catch some good size groupers, Goliath, blacks.
Not Goliath, they're illegal.
Or not Goliath. I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry.
No, not Goliath.
Red grouper, black grouper,
gag
groupers, those things. But this recipe you can use with just about any fish, depending on your seasoning. Now, if a fish is a little more wild, I add a little bit of mustard seeds to it. That takes away a little bit of that flavor. If it's a little fresh,
or
lemon,
you can put lemon on the fish.
Or if it's a little like a halibut, like a grouper, those kind of fish, we like to leave it pretty regular.
That's it.
Now,
all right. My question would be, which let's pick three grouper: red grouper, gag grouper, and black grouper.
Right.
Now, out of those three, which one would you be more likely to add the mustard to?
Those, actually none. Those are all about the same kind of meats. They all have a nice flavor to it, just a natural good flavor to it.
The wild one
would be like if I step into getting King Max. They're a little bit harder flavor.
Okay, so black a different fin tuna. Species.
Yeah, different fish. Species. I'm talking about if you get a hold of a fish that's really harsh in the fish flavor, maybe your sail cats. Sail cats,
okay,
good eating.
But in the grouper, we don't have to worry about adding the mustard.
No.
So go ahead.
Grouper's a clean, nice white meat. It's kind of flaky.
Yes.
To me, it's like a big giant halibut or a bassa fish. You just got some straight, good white meat on it. Like I call them steaks. They're beautiful. Okay. So what we do is we go out and catch a fish. We usually get two as our limit per whoever's on the boat. So we go out to our holes. We fish. We use our different baits, rather it be the squid wings, the finger mullets, sometimes sardines. That new bait I got from you guys that looks like a bubblegum strip.
Oh, the fish bites.
Oh, man. Those things really work.
You know,
amazing.
I try and tell people these fish bites are made in Florida by, you know, they're literally made up in St. Augustine. They're for the fish we have.
And it works.
It's hard for people to believe that a fake bait actually catches fish, but it does. Now, I don't give up on my natural baits.
That's right.
But I've got fish bites on the boat.
I will tell you what I like about the fish bites. We have a white jig bait that we use. It's kind of a fat body to it, and it's got a big, long white tail.
Now, you use the bucktails or the plastic tail?
The plastic tail.
Okay.
Okay. And then we put a strip of that fish bite on there. And it catches fish, groupers left and right.
And the nice part about it is it's legal to do it that way.
Yeah.
It's illegal to put squid, fish, any kind of natural bait on a J-hook.
That's right.
But you can put fish bites on there, catch a ton of fish with it, and it's great on all these jigs. It makes them legal, and it's fun, and you catch a lot of fish.
It's a lot of fun. Catching the fish is just half the battle, you know, just... you got to be in the mood to eat fish. Dad, for a long time, would not even eat the fish.
Yeah, he couldn't.
He couldn't get the flavor right. Nobody. I mean, he would step in these restaurants, and he wouldn't even think about ordering the fish until we started cooking for him. And then what he realizes, wow, these are really good. And he would only want snapper, but then I started giving him sail cats. I started giving him rainbow trout.
The Catfish was the first one
he ate. He was like, I ain't eating that. Well, he ate it. He
yeah, it was good.
As
yeah.
long as you don't tell him what it is.
Oh, yeah, tell him.
Oh, he'll know.
But my big thing is I go out with people and I fillet up the fish. Yeah. And I don't tell them what it is till after they're eating
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's
well, right. if you know how to trick them, though.
Yeah,
he's
I just don't
different.
Tell them.
It's kind of dishonest from the guy, but I'm just on that. I use it too, Frank.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know, I'm sure there's got to be a verse in there somewhere about forgiveness for helping people.
Well, we like to use the, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So, yeah. No, that's not AR. You know, when you tell people, say, look, don't worry about it, just eat it, and then tell me if you like it or not. If you don't like it, no problem. If you do like it, shut up and eat it. And so it's... We've had some great times with it. We like to bring back groupers because it feeds a lot of people. We love our ling snappers. Any kind of snapper in the water, period. Hands down, one of the best fish you'll ever get.
All right.
Hands down.
Now, I'm going to take us back to where we started. We're going to talk about, basically, let's talk about red grouper and gag grouper.
Okay.
The two most prevalent fish on this coast that you catch. Now, you fillet them out. You take the meat off of the skin, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
diced them.
What is that now?
You diced.
I do the hard stuff. She does the easy stuff. So what I do is I fillet the.
You're big, but she's feisty. I got my money's on her. You know, you're within striking range here.
She's gonna win. What I do is I fillet the fish out.
Yeah.
I take out from the skin down to the skeleton system. And then that's one big chunk. That's one big fillet from tail to head. Big piece of fillet on both sides. I remember always get the cheeks. The cheeks are the best part about the whole fish. I mean, it's just absolutely.
A lot of guys
delicious.
Are going big on the throats now.
Yeah, the throat's okay. They're a little bit of work, but it's good.
It's a lot of work, but you can actually if you play with it, you can get it out. But the cheeks were always. It's a delicacy back years ago when the Goliath grouper were legal to keep, back when they were Jewfish.
Mm-hmm.
We would cut them out, and I've had cheek meat out of some of the Goliaths that was literally half, three-quarters of a pound.
Wow.
And, yeah, the big fish. But nowadays, it's a little bit more than it's about two bites as you get out of it.
But it's a sweet
really
meat.
Really worth it.
Very sweet meat. But what we do is we take the cheeks out, then you can use the head as a soup. And you boil that down, you get all the meat from the head. Win-win for everybody.
You have to scale it first.
Yeah, you got to scale it. But, I mean, all the meat in there. There's a lot of meat in the head of a fish.
Yeah.
A lot of work to get to it, but there's a lot of meat in there.
Well, I'm not that hungry. we're going to go back to...
All right, so
we've got this big fillet.
We've got a big fillet.
Two big fillets.
Right, now we have a wood chopping board, okay? Once I fillet it, I give it to Katrina. She's going to... Because I'm going to be washing the boat. I'm going to do miscellaneous stuff. She's going to go ahead and she's going to cut these down, pre-cut
by
these down into chunks, bite-sized chunks.
But you have to, when you cut it, though, you have to make sure that you follow the line, cut in between it, because there's bones in the middle of that fish fillet.
There's
not a lot of people know about it. So when
top,
you cut it,
there's a top fillet and a bottom fillet.
Yeah.
And the fish comes together. Kind of like a little rib muscle in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a little strip of bones that come down through the middle of that.
Yeah.
So if you take your fillet knife and go down on the backside of one, flip it over and go down on the backside of the other, you have two huge chunks of meat. The only thing you got to do is take the worms out at that point, but you got this little strip of bones out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also boil that down and have that part of your soup as well. Those bones come right out of it. But it keeps you from having any bones in your fillets in your food to eat.
Yeah.
Now, we do cut the worms out. There's some people say, forget it. I'm going to eat it. It's meat. But we cut those bad boys out. We don't want to see any worms in our food, so we take those bad boys out.
Well, I'm from the generation that we used to go get an apple, and you'd pick it up. You see a wormhole in it. You cut that bit out and eat the rest of it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah,
we cut the little bit of that worm out.
Just
the worm. Or pull the worm out. Doesn't matter.
They're not parasitic to humans. They don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Even if you ate them raw, they're not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But
they don't
it's a little disgusting.
I've eaten a lot of worms in my life, just earthworms in general.
Ew.
I've eaten these worms. I don't care. But when Dad's sitting there or Mom's sitting there and they see this little black spot, they're like, is that a worm? It's like, oops, I missed one.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So we got to cut those out. But
Well, there is the fine of that fish.
Yeah.
You can see it like she can.
Yeah,
you see little
white dots on them. And you just cut those out. Mm-hmm. And if I can't see it, I don't worry about it.
That's it. So she gets them pre-cut in chunks. A lot of times we'll vacuum seal these if we're going to keep them for, you know, say a week or two.
Yeah.
We go ahead and vacuum seal them, throw them in the freezer after we chunk them. That way when we're ready to cook, we're ready to cook.
Now, yep. One of the things I do vacuum sealing is I like to pour distilled water in with it.
Yep. Keeps it clean.
And the distilled water gives me a timeline, mm-hmm. because when the water, when it's distilled, it's perfectly clear, frozen. Tap water, all that freezes kind of white,
yep. mm-hmm.
and so you can't see into it. But with distilled water, if you don't have a Ziploc system or a vacuum system,
yeah.
take some distilled water. It has to be distilled, not store-bought right. water. Right. It's got to be distilled water. You pour that. Put the fillets in a bag, pour some distilled water in, Ziploc it shut, and go it down. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to be able to see when the air is going down to the fish.
That's right.
It literally, you can see before they get freezer burned, mm-hmm. because it's all clear, and then all of a sudden the air will start to penetrate, because people don't realize plastic is not an oxygen barrier.
That's right.
When we, in a different topic, when we have leftover pizza, we wrap it in aluminum foil. Mm. It'll stay good for a week. You put it in saran wrap or something, you got a day or two, and it's right. done. So,
got to keep the air out. And vacuum seal does keep a lot of the air out. That's why we went to it. We got
vacuum seal's really good if you got one.
Yeah. We spent the extra bucks. We went to Bass Pro and got us a nice little vacuum seal. Mm-hmm. And because of that problem, we would put it in a Ziploc. It just didn't keep very long, and we're not ones that want to waste meat, so we had to eat a lot of fish in a real hurry. So we chunk this bad boy up. Typically, we like to eat fish that day. We want to eat fresh fish. So, as I'm cleaning up, she's going to get the fish cooking, and so we're gonna cheat a little bit. We're going to tell them the flour to get if you want grouper fish.
A good one.
Straight out of the bag.
I have to go to Publix and ask them to carry this.
Yeah, they do.
Actually, Publix carries this.
Yeah, the Publix.
That's where we get it.
Yeah,
now,
that's where I shop, is Publix.
For most of my life, I made my own flour setup, okay? I would take Hudson Cream flour, which you can only get it from up north. You have to special order it down here. You can get by with some of these other flours, but they're not as good. They're kind of chunky and plumpy. And
I thought you said Publix carried that.
Well, not this. That's before, when I had to make up my own.
Oh, gotcha.
So one day, we're in there, and I couldn't find my Hudson Cream. I didn't have any more left. I was frustrated. So I go in on an aisle, and I'm looking at all these different options they have, and there's a bag at the top shelf, and it's called Lefty's. Lefty's flour, or Lefty's seasoning for either fish
or chicken.
And I looked at Katrina and I said, "Babe, I know you can't reach it. I'm going to reach it because she's only 4'10". I'm going to get up there. We're going to try this." I said, "I've taken a lot of stabs at everything else on this shelf, and they always taste like crap. Zatarain, all the other ones. They just don't. They're oily. They're just eck." So we pull down Lefty's. Now, he has two versions, regular and spicy.
Now, the
if
spicy
you want hair
is
on your chest,
spicy.
I don't care if you're male or female. You want hair on chest, use the spicy one. If you want to just kind of let it burn a little bit, use the regular, add your own heat, because, dear God, Lefty has a serious sense of humor about it.
Yeah, it's really hot.
Boy, he'll set me on fire. I love it. Good stuff. So we get Lefty's. We go home. Frank, perfect out of the bag. You really don't have to do anything with it.
Well, the only thing you can add is the dry oregano's, the
parsley's, basil, and Italian seasoning.
Italian seasoning, yeah.
Those are things that we like to add to the flour, but you don't have to add nothing to it.
If, let's say you got a half a cup of flour.
Right.
Because you're going to do like a snapper or something.
Yeah. Okay.
How much oregano, parsley?
Teaspoon, 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 teaspoon. Out of the four, teaspoon, 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 teaspoon.
Okay. If it's not as small?
Yeah, if you got just a,
half cup.
Yeah, if you're going to go, let's say a cup and a half, of flour, because that's about what you need to do a good size snapper,
All right.
Grouper, you need quite a bit more.
All right, so if we're going to do a grouper, how many cups of this flour or Lefty seasoning do you want?
We did the whole bag.
Yeah, we do a grouper, we do a fillet and a half. And it feeds our family.
Yeah.
So we do an entire bag of Lefty's.
Yes.
Okay. And it does one fillet and a half of the other side. We've already chunked these out in bite-sized nuggets is what we call it, bite-sized nuggets. And we put an egg mix, which was
egg and
four
milk.
Four eggs and milk. Beat that up.
Yeah.
Set that off the side.
Basically soak the meat on that.
Yeah. You want that soaked real good.
Yeah, the milk and the egg.
So you do like a scrambled egg mix.
Yep.
Yes.
So you whip it up like scrambled eggs with
just not as much milk. Just a little bit less milk than that. But
All right. And so now you've got that in a bowl, and you put the pieces of grouper into that.
That's right. And you want that to soak in while you're doing your other stuff. You want that milk.
While preparing the, you know, the flour or whatever. Yeah.
So on the grouper, whole bag. If you do a snapper, just a good size snapper for, let's say, a husband or wife or something like that, you can use about a cup and a half. And then the teaspoon's the smaller spoon. You just get a teaspoon and do a teaspoon of each seasoning. Oregano. All these are dry.
Yes.
Oregano, parsley, basil, and Italian seasoning.
Right. Now, if you're doing a grouper size, you're going to use a tablespoon or?
We're going to use about a tablespoon and a half on each one of them, maybe a little bit more.
So we've got a whole bag of this lefty stuff.
Yes.
That's right.
And so to get it prepped, I'm going to take a tablespoon and a teaspoon of each of the four oregano, Italian seasoning,
and then I want to mix that up before I put the fish in there. I want to use a whisk. I want to whisk that mix together. Okay, if I can't see it granulated with the different seasonings, I'm going to add a little bit more of each one. I want to see it granulated throughout the entire flour. Okay, so in other words, I want to see little specks of this all throughout it. And now lefties by itself, if you're in a pinch, you just use lefties, walk away.
Yeah.
It's fine. You don't have to add nothing to it. No salt, no pepper, no nothing. It's good. But if you want to go over the top, add these four seasonings to it. Just your everyday dried up parsley. You can use fresh, but dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley, basil, oregano, and Italian seasoning. Use those four different ones and use it just to flake it up to where you can see it. Now, like I said, about a tablespoon and a half of each one of them. And then mix it up. If you can't see little specks throughout, add a little bit more of each one until you can mix it up and the entire bowl has about the same consistency of the flakes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically all I'm looking for is when I do that, I want to be able to see a little bit of all the spices I'm looking at.
Not harsh. You know, you still want a bulk of the lefties, but you want to see these flakes in there. And then I do not like to get my hands wet. I do not. I have
don't.
A thing with it. So this is where Stormy's going to take over. She's going to guide you through the rest of it. Come on.
What am I going to say? You already said everything.
No, you got to tell them how to take the fish into the batter.
Well,
you don't want it real wet. You want it to kind of drain off.
Yeah, well, basically, when you butter the one that you the meat that you soaked with the milk and the...
Now, what we've did is make a scrambled egg mix.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Yes. And we put all the fish into that, kind of mixed
it
around
yes.
so that it's all covered up with it, and it's been sitting there.
And
now what do we
do? You got to prepare the flour along with the other spices.
Right. Well, he's now, ready for that part. Now he's saying how to get from there to the frying pan.
Well,
now,
that's very easy.
Also, we want to note peanut oil.
Yes.
That's what you want to use to cook this, peanut oil.
Okay, what kind of pan am I doing this in?
I like to use a stainless steel pan. A big, thick, tall.
Preferably, big.
Yeah, very tall.
Like
very
4-inch sides or something like that.
Yep.
Now, how much peanut oil am I putting in this? Quarter inch, half inch,
you're
2 inches?
You're going to go 3/4 of the way up on the pan.
So you're talking about 2 inches or 2.5 inches of oil.
Yep.
Yeah. So and that when you fry the fish, it will basically float.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what
so
you're
you want.
For.
If your chunks are 1.5 inches, you got to have at least 2.5 inches of
oil. That's right.
Yeah.
So you want them to be able to float up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now you put the oil on the stove, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You put in the stainless steel pan.
Usually about the 6-7 is where you're going to be cooking at, because you don't want it to be too hot and burn it. So you want it to be about 6-7.
All right. So how do you tell when the oil's hot enough?
You're going to take a little bit of
use
the
lefties, flour. The flour. You just...
Yeah, a little bit of lefties, a pinch.
Yeah. So, and it was his, yeah.
So I'm taking a pinch of the flour.
Pour it on the hot oil.
Do I do a little bit of the egg with the flour?
No, just the flour. Just the flour.
Put it in the oil and it sizzles, turns brown.
Yeah, yes,
you're good.
And then you'll know.
If it sizzles right up, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm going to take tongs or something and grab each piece
of
fish.
Oh, gosh, no. By hand.
It's better by hand.
It's better by hand. Because
you do it one by one.
That's the part I don't like. I don't like getting my hands wet.
Yeah.
So, and I hate gloves because I'm a big dude, man. All right? I'm finicky. I'm finicky, man.
It's okay.
He's a weird dude, okay?
So she don't mind it. But
she
ugh. She gets knuckle deep in this this meat. Like she pulls it up and lets them drain out to where it's just a little, you know, whatever.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you put it
put
in the flour.
In the flour and,
and then you squeeze it onto the meat.
I only do it once. I don't like doing it twice. Some other people go back to the, you know, to the whip.
Double dip it.
Yeah, double dip it. I don't like that.
We don't double dip.
I don't double dip.
If you're eating chips, you don't double dip. You know why? Because the other person don't want to eat your spit. That's why you don't do that.
Okay.
All right, just saying.
Yeah, it's better when it's not double
so many
dip.
Parties, you double dip. You double dippers. Just kill me, man.
All right, sorry.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, if you don't want to kiss the person, don't double dip.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Now, if you're taking these and the chunks out of this scrambled egg mix have been soaking in, and you pack it on with the flour and
just
now, you do it with your hand into the frying pan.
Well,
you don't stick your fingers
sure.
in the grease.
You put it slowly. You don't put it fast.
I can't use a pair of tongs and just put it in.
You can, but it's better with hands since your hands are already dirty. You can just put it slowly and eat.
But I'm a wuss. I don't like getting burned. So
Well, once it's cooked, you can use the tongs.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, how are you getting it out?
That you're gonna use tongs. Don't use your fingers to get it out of the grease.
Okay.
All right. But without splashdown, you take the meat like close to the grease but not in the grease.
Yeah.
And you just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And you push it away from you so that if there is a splatter, it goes away from you, not to you.
Yeah.
And so all the meat goes in there without splattering you. But when you get the meat out, you use a tong or you use a scoop. We have a scoop, like a strainer. You can scoop.
Now, how do you tell when they're done?
When it turns golden brown or when it floats.
Yep.
So golden brown floating. Yeah.
That's
what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And not when it just pops to the surface either. I mean,
you want it golden brown. You don't want yellow.
Yeah.
Because when it's yellow, it's not crispy. You want it a little bit crispier.
Now, I like to use, I don't know how she does it, because I'm usually, at this point, I'm setting up the table, I'm making the corn on the cob fresh on the grill, I leave the stalk on, all this other stuff. So she's in there playing with the fish, but when I do it, I usually have a fat guy. You know, that fat nugget? Then you got the skinny nuggets. I let the fat nugget kind of come up to the top. All the other ones have been floating for a second, so they're getting kind of golden brown.
Yes.
When the fat guy gets up there to the top, I take the little guys off. By the time the little guys come out, the fat one's nice and golden brown.
Mm.
And then I'll take the fat guy off, you know, the fat nugget. He's got a little bit more meat on him. And I'm going to sample that bad boy. Make sure you have something to drink with it because it's going to be hot as I'll get out. But I blow on a little bit and I eat. That's my sample piece right there.
Somebody had that close to a fire. He's hot. Yes.
This is where I get in trouble because I'm the sampler. You know what I mean? I got to try it a few times. I mean, I'm normally full by the time the table's set and everybody's going to eat. I'm usually full.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm still going to eat. But
that's the way a good cook should be.
Yeah.
If you're not trying, you know, what things taste like, how do you know where it's going to end up?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, we're actually kind of right down to the wire. Do you have a name for what this was?
Oh, my God, delicious.
Okay. So, what we did was, oh, my God, delicious grouper today. And Fish and Frank here. And that is Pastor Donnie over there. God. So, one thing we always want to do when we have Pastor Donnie is say grace before you eat. And he's kind of made me hungry. Kind of made me just kind of wonder about a few things. But I'm definitely interested in eating at this point.
Yeah, so, they're really good.
Why don't you give me a little bit of grace there, Donnie, to put the meal in the right mood.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for such a great time to fellowship and to be able to pass along some information to our brothers and sisters out there. Father, we ask you to bless our food and drinks, nurse these things into our body and our body into your service. And Father, we give you praise for all the things we have in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, boys and girls. This is called Cooking Fish. And we have another show that we do called God and Fishing. Hopefully you'll listen to both of them. I'm Fishing Frank, and that is Pastor Donnie over there, my friend. And he's working on me. He's trying to get me, trying to make me right. And the Typhoon Katrina.
Okay.
Who does,
distract everything.
She keeps me in line, Frank. That's her job.
And she's doing pretty good.
Yeah. I'm trying to get you hooked. She's got me hooked. That's the way it is.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're you might not think so, boys and girls, but Pastor Donnie says there is hope for me. So,
oh, there's definitely hope for you, brother. You already got the heart. Now you just need to put all the pieces together. You're good.
We'll work on it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, stay tuned for more cool stuff on Cooking Fish. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
And bye-bye. May God bless.
Find us a brand new recipe.